Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That 80s Child, the Generation Y, and my name is Gabrielle. So this is going to be my second podcast that I recorded in one day, but obviously this will be coming out after the other one. But I had this idea driving today while I went to the bank and had this idea, and I was like, you know what, I should really talk about it because I discussed in my blog and other previous podcasts about music and bullies, being bullied, the types of teachers I had to deal with, the types of people I had to deal with, how I was not a fashionista, I really wasn't into all of the trends. But let me give you a bit more of a backstory, and let's delve into some other deeper things regarding nostalgia, but also things that we probably we have all kind of dealt with, but in different ways. So in this title, I wrote, Delia's called, they said, try again, fatty. And I had a couple of different titles for this. And fitting rooms and emotional damage, Backstreet's back, but I was listening to Depeche Mode. Uniforms, undersized jeans, and unsolicited diet tips, and I wasn't built for low-rise anything. So that's just to give you kind of like a little bit of idea as where this episode's going to go. It's going to be a little bit of a deeper thing. It's going to be a little bit more emotional, still nostalgic, still talking about some things. But I think we all have had to deal with things like this, and whether or not you were popular or not, if you were a geek or not, or if you were a misfit like myself or you were not. Regardless, there's somebody out there who had to deal with the same types of things, and I'm going to be here to talk about it. So in the 90s, the big thing was heroin chic. I've discussed this before in the episodes that I did about the 80s and 90s diet fads. And also when it came to fashion, you know, it was always thin things. Like you had really thin eyebrows, they had the poker straight hair, and it was low rise jeans, crop tops, and everything that it was, I was not. So I had to figure things out, and it was very hard because at the time, we all want to fit in. We all want to be part of something. And when you're in school, you try and find your niche, you find your group, what you're going to be hanging around with. There were the jocks, there were the cheerleaders. I mean, in a sense, there were mixed, some mixed ones. It wasn't as cut and dry or as stark as some of these movies like to portray them as, but it wasn't far off. Let me give you that. There were those people, and there were the smart kids. There were the geeks. There was, I don't know. I don't even know what you would call me, because I had a couple of friends, but they came from different aspects. Like there were the theater kids, even though we didn't really have a huge theater thing, it was there, but nah, I don't know. So I didn't sing, I didn't dance, I didn't do that. Nope. Maybe in front of people? Oh no. Oral presentations were the death of me. So no. Having to, like, you know, choose to do that, to get in front of people, that's a no for me. I could have done like behind the scenes work, but that would mean me having to stay at school for any longer than I had to. And if that meant 1 second longer, no thank you. That's why I barely ever even went to my literary magazine meetings, because I'm like, I really don't want to be here. Can we email me about it or something? If this was later on in high school. But anyhow, so growing up in the 90s, between 12 and 16, I want to say. So the very beginning of the 90s, I was 7 years old, and at the end of the 90s, I was 16. So they were like pivotal times, especially like going from like tween, not like 7 years old, but like when you're like 12 and then to the 16 mark, you're going through puberty, you're going through a lot of changes in yourself emotionally, socially as well, like where are you going to fit in, how is everything going, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to be talking about puberty, body image, fashion catalogs, Catholic school uniforms, and trying to find identity when the world made you feel like you didn't quite fit in. Let me tell you, puberty was not, it wasn't completely horrible to me. I didn't have acne. I didn't break out that much. Like, I had moments, and I still do. I still go through puberty right now. But I had really long hair. My mom very rarely cut my hair, like maybe a trim at the bottom, and I would always wear my hair in two braids, just two braids all the time. And my hair up until I was 11 would, you know, obviously it grew to that point. I wasn't born with really long hair. I was born with a full head of hair, but not with really long hair. But my hair was down past my knees when I was in sixth grade. It was down past my knees. I had always worn two braids. I never wore it down because it was just work. And I was unhappy with it because, one, I was getting made fun of because I was continually wearing braids. And, you know, you're getting older, so people are like, you know, you're not a child anymore, you know. But in a horrible way, of course. And, you know, classmates were never going to be, you know, you kind of are outgrowing those. Maybe you should try something else. No, they'll just be like, you know, whispering and talking about you and shit like that because they're stupid. Anyhow, lack of communication. Anyhow, so I was upset with that, and I was unhappy with how my hair was, and I'm like, I really need to get this changed. So my mom's sister, Anne, my aunt, we never called her Aunt Anne, it was just Anne, because she's like, it's hard to say, just say Anne. Her kids would even call her by her first name, which if I did that for my dad, that would be disrespectful. So it was odd for me to even call her Anne. Because I'm like, that's disrespectful, but here we are. Anyway, so she had a woman that she would go to all the time to cut her hair. Now, this Anne was older than my mother by 4 years. So this is an older woman telling a 11-year-old, you should go to see her stylist. Like, okay, so how old would she have been at that time? How old was my mom? So I would say like she was in her late 40s. So almost as old as I am right now. Older, actually, she was older. But telling me to go and get my hair styled by her hairstylist. And she would have her basic ass 90s, 40-year-old hairstyle. So it's just like, how is she styling my hair? I had no idea. I had no idea what I was going to do. I should have probably researched it a bit. But this was before the internet in my house and, you know, having to be a Pinterest. I don't have a Pinterest board. It was just thoughts visually in a magazine or like kind of what I think I would be. I wouldn't know because I've always had the same type of hair forever that I can remember. So I go there and I get 18 inches cut off of my hair. It's like, that's a lot of hair. And she didn't really style it. I don't feel like she layered it or anything. I just feel like it was I can't quite remember. Although after it was cut, it felt so nice. It was so different from what I ever knew. However, it being as long as it was very heavy. It was always straight with maybe like a little bit of a flip at the end, you know, when I would get it washed, my mom would brush it out and braid it. And then because it was in a braid, it'd be wavy, but that was only because it was in a braid. My dad at the time was bald, so I didn't know what his hair looked like unless I looked at old pictures of him. And my mom had straight hair. So I never really thought that it would be any different until I cut 18 inches off. And my hair turned to curls, just ringlets, like very, very voluminous. And I didn't know, my mom didn't know how to handle that. I didn't know how to handle that. I went into school the next day and I had one of the people who weren't horrible to me say, oh, I like it. That's because I cut like freaking all of my hair off. I might as well have just shaved my head at that point. I hated having attention, especially since I wasn't entirely sure how I felt about it myself. But as the days progressed and my hair just seemed to like become bigger and I didn't know how to handle it, I didn't put product in my hair, I had no idea how to tame it, I would just get made fun of about the texture of my hair, that it would be, they would just make some really nasty comments about my hair. And then for whatever reason, in eighth grade, I decided to get it cut shorter. Like, that would make it better. And I couldn't put it back anymore. So at least when I was in sixth grade, I was able to actually pull my hair back because it was long enough to actually put it in like a ponytail. But no, not in eighth grade. I had to just keep it down and just, I was standing in line to the lunch and I heard some people like, oh, you could get your pen could get lost in there. And it's like, all right, Jesus Christ. So I always, anytime I, my hair still curls. It's just not as curly. It just, I think because it was, I was going through puberty, I guess it just decided to be that way. And plus I put a shock to it. I just chopped it all off. I think it was done poorly, poorly executed, poorly planned. And then it just became something else that I'm self-conscious about. So I didn't have any like specific 90s haircut that was at the time because I had no idea how to make my hair do any of those things. And I really didn't have help from my mom. No offense, I'm not trying to besmirch my mom in any way in any time that I talk about it, but she really wasn't very helpful with trying to figure it out. And her and everybody, of course, my mom's just like, who cares what they say? I'm like, well, I fucking care what they say, okay? I have to deal with it every day. She's like, just shave my head and I'll wear a wig. But yeah, so like my hair, nah, it just didn't, it wasn't anything to do with that. And then so that was like part of that. And then I started to gain weight, and puberty, I feel like emotionally that really effed me up, because once I really started to feel that hormonal changes and like the pull of, you know, having your cycle and stuff, because that's always fun. I was 11 when that happened. You know, my hair, I started to gain weight, and then everybody was super thin. I always had my eyebrows are natural. I don't pluck them. I don't do anything with them. I haven't done anything with them ever. And I'm surprised that I didn't try to do anything with them, because I did try for a long time to fit in. I tried to be like everybody else, but it never really worked, and then I just gave up with that. So yeah, so like you're looking at these models back in the day, so you look, think of Kate Moss, and then the super thin dominating the media. So here I was, I wasn't like fat, okay, but if you were to put me against those people, yes, I looked like a heifer, okay? So it wasn't, I just thought I was continually fat my entire life. But I look at pictures of myself from back then, I'm like, God damn, I wish I was that size right now. What the hell were you thinking? But yeah, it was, it's of the time, I get it. And it really hurt me, especially when I started to gain weight, more on that than my hair. Because of the fact that you would have, granted, so this is what I'm saying with the school uniforms. I never had to worry about my fashion sense because we had the uniforms. It did definitely make me hate skirts because I had to wear them all the time. I don't wear skirts. I don't wear dresses because I hate them so much. Because I was forced to wear them all the time, and it was so uncomfortable during the summertime, and the backs of your legs would stick to those things. I've made these comments before in my podcast, but I'll say it again. And I did hate them. But the other thing was, is that on the other side of it, when I'd be home, or if I was to go out at any point, which was very rare, but I did, with friends or friend, maybe two. And if I was to wear my own stuff, it was always it wasn't very current. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't very fashionable as I got into my teen years, for sure. Like, my mom dressed me up until, when I was, like, little, obviously. And then she would always buy me some, like, I thought I was okay. And I was still a regular-sized child at the time. So I never had any issues with what I would wear when I would get home and whatever, because it never was a problem. But when I got older, it was a problem, because I'm like, nothing fits me. And you would get these magazines like Wet Seal and Delia in, and they never ever had my size. It was always a size like, you know, 000 or something, or extra, extra small. It was never like, I don't even know what I was at the time. I probably was like a 6 or something. Like, I was still small, but I wasn't extra small, you know what I'm saying? So they never had my size. So I never felt like I could actually finally maybe fit in, because I couldn't even wear the clothes that everybody else was wearing. I had to find things that, you know, it was a flannel and a t-shirt and some jeans. And I've literally kept to that to this day. Less the flannel. I don't have a flannel anymore, but do I? No, I don't think so. I used to have like a flannel, like sweater type of thing, but nah. So yeah, it's just t-shirt and jeans. I also would have like these khaki pants too. And it was just not of the, at that time, it's not what everybody else was wearing, especially the girls. It was always like these like maxi dress, like skirts and the straight up and down. And you know, crop this, crop that, and yeah, it didn't work for me. So it was very much, I was very much pressured, and I didn't know how to, my mom was always very much, and this is going to go back to the other, what I talked about with diet fads. My mom very much was into all the diet fads, and she was always part of Weight Watchers, like touch and go, you know, wasn't consistent all the time, but she lost quite a bit of weight the one time on Weight Watchers, and she looked great. So I always felt like the only way that I was going to be able to lose weight is if I was on these crash diets that were not healthy for you. And besides that, I hated half the stuff that they made you eat. My mom would end up making us dinners from these Weight Watchers or from like Richard Simmons Deal a Meal stuff. I don't know how my dad handled that stuff, because I was just like, what is this? You know, what is this cardboard? It wasn't always like that. There were some actual good meals that we got out of it, but there were some times where I'm like, what? You know, I'm not asking to eat like a whole bunch of stuff that's bad for you all of the time, but I mean, do I have to be subjected to this stuff as well? So the only way that I thought and what that I was going to be able to lose weight is I had to do all this work. And then you had these people who it looked effortless for these people. Like they were just predestined to be this way, and I was predestined to be this lump that nobody give a shit about, you know? So it was very, very hard for me to go through on a day where I'm like looking at these girls, and I'm telling you, some of these girls, because they were pretty high maintenance, not all of them, but they were like model-esque, you know, they could easily be a model in one of these like Delia Wet Seal shit and all that, whatever. And then here I was, I looked myself in the mirror, and I'm like, my fucking God, nope. First of all, you can forget having a relationship of any sort, because, you know, you see what these guys go for. And I'm like, I see most of these guys I've been to school with since I was freaking, you know, 7 years old. No, thank you. First off. And second of all, like nobody wants you. Nobody would want this, because that is not what everybody was looking at and oogling over. You know, I wasn't that. And I appreciate nowadays the more of an acceptance. It's not entirely accepted. I don't particularly think that being fat, obese, is healthy. It is definitely not. So I'm not trying to glamorize that. I'm fat and I'm obese. Okay, I am overweight, you know, however many words you would like to use in that. My BMI is higher than it should be. I think the BMI scale is full of shit, but okay. I know that I am heavy and I know that I need to lose weight. Thank you. I do think that I like the inclusion of the sizes, but I do also think that does give us a crutch where it doesn't force us to kind of want to lose the weight. I know how difficult it is. I'm not trying to say that it's easy. I've dealt with it on my entire life as I'm talking about it right now, but it is unhealthy. And I just got on the scale today, to be honest, and I'm like, I thought I lost more weight because I hadn't been feeling 100%. My stomach's been not great, dealing with a lot of stress. So I'm like, and I haven't really been eating a lot, but that's also not good. Starving yourself is not good. You will actually gain weight if you starve yourself or you eat nothing except for maybe one thing at dinner, and you know, because your body goes into starvation mode. So yeah, I have done a lot of those things. During sophomore year, when I was 15, 16, I starved myself because I was talking to a guy who wanted to eventually meet. I was just talking to him, like we talked on AIM and then on the phone, and he wanted to meet, and I'm like, can we just keep it as a chat and a call? Like, you don't need to see me. Nah. This is cool this way, right? So yeah, I starved myself. I straight up like just didn't eat, and I did some exercises, and it was very unhealthy what I did to get to that point. And even then, when I did get to, and I felt better, and I was actually getting some attention at school as well from some guys, which was odd to me because I had no idea how to handle that. I'm like, what? What? You see me? you're talking to me right now? So I felt a little bit better, and I felt, but it was nowhere, because I kept going off of and comparing myself to the other girls who have always been super thin, and I swear, like, probably too thin. I was probably a healthy weight. I was probably perfect. Nobody's perfect, but, you know, at that point, like, I probably was where I would love to be right now, and I probably never will be able to, but didn't think that of myself. So when I met this guy who, you know, at the time, and I could be making it like romanticizing it because he's no longer around. He was gorgeous. Like, I didn't understand how he wanted to talk to me and found me interesting. That just goes to show you that my personality was a little bit better than what I looked like. I still feel that way. But I don't even know if my personality is any good anymore, to be honest with you. But here we are. And when I met him, I'm like, this is out of my league. So I savored every moment when I did meet him. But yeah, that didn't pan out in the end. But regardless, I hated myself. I really did. I hated everything, single thing about myself. So fashion at the time, it did really feel like identity. And I really didn't have an identity. Like, where my identity was like, what can I shove this fat body into and hope to God that, you know, I don't get made fun of for whatever it is. And thankfully, like I said, I only had to worry about wearing the skirts. But the problem is that even then, you know, if you're gaining weight and you have these skirts, they're going to be fitting you differently and you're going to look different because you have to tuck your damn shirt in, which was annoying as shit because I liked to cover every... If I could wear a potato sack, I would have, you know, just to cover everything up, a trash bag, or just not go to school at all, which I did call out quite a bit, or told my mom, like, I can't go in. I just can't do it. I can't. So it was annoying because if you even wanted to try and even keep up with the fashion, they didn't have my size. So I couldn't. So I had to find other things. And I went to Fashion Bug, which had some weird stuff. I remember some things there, but yeah. So Fashion Bug, yeah, it's like Lane Bryant, like just fat fucking things. But anyway, going to school with the skirts, it was, like I said, a double-edged sword. I had the relief of having a uniform, didn't have to worry about it, didn't have to keep up with the times, I didn't have to, like, it was the same goddamn uniform year in and year out. But that definitely contributed to my lasting hatred of skirts, for sure. And then it also made it so that you couldn't really stand out. But I think they did it on purpose because you're there to learn. You're there to be with God and learn, like I said, and not there to know, what are you wearing? Who are you wearing? You know? So it's a good thing. It was a good thing for me because I didn't have to worry about. I went through a lot of like emotional struggle as I said prior, I just wanted to be normal, whatever normal is or was. And I've always felt like I was so much outside of that arena of the kids, like all the other people that went to school, even my friends. I felt like I was an outsider. I felt like I was that extra person that they just felt bad for, and they just were like, we'll just absorb you in just so you feel like you're not completely left alone, which I appreciate them, but even if that wasn't the case, it just, that's how it felt for me. And I just, even being an average, whatever that was, would be great. Even though that stupid counselor told me that I could achieve nothing but average because that's all my grades ever were. I never really, because I hated, like I said, I hated school. Well, F him, because I got honors in college. So F you, dude. F you, dude. So for me, how I switched that up, and if I was unable to mold myself into whatever it was that was classified as normal, then I made a conscious decision that, okay, if I can't join them, I will do whatever I can to be as in opposition to them as possible, which probably led to a lot of, like, people, you know, looking at me strangely for a lot of different reasons as the years progressed in high school anyway. But it was high school where I made the major decision of, like, okay, so the people were like into like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, and I'm like, oh, okay, so you like them, cool. I liked Depeche Mode and Duran Duran. They were my biggest things that I was listening to at the time. So not a lot of people like heard of them, even though that was from the, like, it was less than 10 years prior. Nowadays it's like, yeah, 50 years ago. But yeah, so it was just like, they're from the 80s. They're still like releasing music now. Like, it's not like, it's like Bon Jovi, for fuck's sake, you know them. So I embraced the difference, and I made sure that in my own way, I rebelled against it. You like this, I don't like it. You hate this, maybe I like it. You know, it's just like, because you know what? I don't want to be like you anymore, because fuck you. Yeah. So that's pretty much what my mindset was towards the end there. And I had just given up on fitting in, because I'm like, fuck it. I'm not going to ever be able to do it, because I'm not like these people. So therefore, I'll just embrace who I think I am. And you know, at 14, 15, 16, you don't necessarily know who the hell you are. You don't even know. I'm 42 and I'm still like, I know a lot more about myself now than I did then. But yeah, if you were to ask a person at 16, like, who are you? They might give you an answer, but it's not, okay? You have not had enough life in general, not had enough life to really kind of give a proper answer. You know, you're still maturing. Your brain is still working up there. You know, it's still actually growing and, like I said, maturing. It's not even there yet. So anyhow, but in that rebellion that I did, it was self-preservation. In order for me to survive going in and to that school every freaking day and dealing with those people and not being able to have that camaraderie with these people for whatever reason, that's what I did. I just became this person. I'm like, okay, fine, I will be opposite. And that's how I just was like, oh, that's me then. Okay, cool. I survived that way with music too, like, and writing and music, and just being a complete asshole. I wasn't an asshole to people. I wasn't. I just wanted to be, I'm like, fine, I'll just, if you're going to classify me as different, I will be very different. Be prepared. So being different on purpose while still longing to be accepted is definitely something that's ironic. Like, I really, really, really wanted to just, I just wanted to be part of it. I just wanted to be part of it. I hated to be on the outside. I hated to watch everybody have fun and enjoy themselves while I was sitting there in misery and hating every single day. I just wanted to fit in. And then when I made that decision to just be different, I felt a little bit better about myself. Very little, like a minuscule amount. And then as soon as I started to talk to that guy too, where I felt like wanted in a way, which I never felt that way before, at least by, obviously, my mom and dad were great parents. Do you know? There are cracks into that, but I'm just saying they didn't abandon me. They didn't, like, you know, give me a hard time about stuff. They were good parents, okay? We're at that point, okay? But outside of the familia, like home and all that, I never felt wanted by anybody. So when I had that person I was talking to, it was amazing. And I look back at that point so fondly, and I miss it. I miss that feeling, to be honest. And it was so nice. But I was so scared too of losing it because of who I was and what I looked like and how everybody made me feel. Like, I was just going to turn, for that guy, I was just going to turn into that thing that everybody kind of made me out to be. So I was like, well, you know, I hoped, but I didn't hope with an immense amount of it, if you understand what I mean. I had that vulnerability of, like, wanting to really be part of everything, but at the same time just completely being rebelling against whatever it is. The mainstream was, I wasn't going to be part of it, so I'll be opposite. Like I said, I'll be opposite. And then again, like, what is normal? At the time, obviously, you could probably come up with some definitions of what normal was at the time. Like, you could come up with some definition. Well, I don't know. Nowadays, I feel like it's a circus nowadays. But you can come up with different definitions with normal during different times. It changes. There is no set definition for normal. There is really no normal. We're all unique beings. And we're all these people that are just trying to survive in their own way. So, you know, if I could actually go back and talk to myself, because I've thought of this, like, if I was like, you know, one, I would say kind of what my mom said, and I kind of just scoffed at it, like, really, you know, I was like, it doesn't matter what they say. And really does not matter what they say. If you are in high school right now and dealing with this stuff, it really does not matter. You are who you are, and that's fine. And you are a beautiful person inside and out. Doesn't matter what these people are telling you. Just disregard. I would reinforce what my mom already said, but I would also say, like, you will be okay. You will get through this and you'll survive. But I would also probably say, like, emotionally, and I know it doesn't matter if you're talking to your 13-year-old self, or even, like, doesn't matter what age, when you're in the throes of those that emotional roller coaster of everything that's going on, you really can't see beyond it, and it's very hard. Like, if somebody's coming out from, like, the experience and they're telling you, like, it's fine at the time, no, it is not fine. It is the end of the goddamn world, because for your world it is, like, it does feel like the end, but it isn't. It will pass. This too shall pass. Okay, it's all cliche as it is the truth. And I would do my best to tell myself that. And I will say, like, I understand. I understand. And sometimes that's all you need to hear somebody say, like, I completely understand what you're going through. Once I'm you. But, you know, I've been there. I'm kind of glad that I went down the route of being different, because I think that my style, the way that I have style, I don't have any style, but, like, the way that I am, the way that I see things, the way that I view things, it helps a lot with how I handle stuff. But there are things that are definitely not how things should be. It has messed me up in certain things, but not everything. I'm glad that I survived. I'm glad that I got through it relatively unscathed. Like, I have some issues, but as do we all. But yeah, so today, like I said, I think body positivity and the diversity in fashion is definitely a lot better now than the 90s, with it being very, you know, like I said, if you look at the stuff, some of the stuff that we had to wear back in the day, like, that was fashionable. It was very one-sided. Like, you had to look like those models. It didn't matter if you had a curve on you, or even just even bigger boobs or something like that, then forget it. You're just different at that point. And if you're different, then it's a problem. So I'm glad that we've kind of moved away from that. And it's been more, like, accepting of people who I'm not even talking about you having to be fat. Like, God forbid you have, like, a nicer, bigger ass, you know, or you have bigger boobs, or you don't have boobs. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, at least have that inclusion to know that we all have different body types, and that's what happens. And you're allowed to have that. It's okay, you know? Like I said, I am definitely need to lose weight, because it is definitely something that needs to be done because of health reasons. But beyond that, like, giving people options, that's awesome. Because back then I felt like I really didn't have them, and I was choosing things that I had to choose because that's all I had. So I like the fact that we have that more positivity towards the fact that, oh, we have curves? Holy shit. You know, it's a crazy thought. But in the 90s, it was a crazy thought, because you had to just be straight up and fucking down, I guess. Like, you know, I wasn't. I still am not. But, you know. So if you felt that way in any way, like, if you were made fun of, people say anything about you, anything about your appearance, anything, like, even, like, I've always had positive things said about me, because I was always very nice to everybody. I don't know why, because there are times where I'm like, I dislike you so badly, but I'm not going to be rude. And I was never rude to anybody, because I was raised not to be rude to people, and even if they were dicks. So I always had, like, I think I was voted the shyest, and I didn't even, like, show up. I wasn't in school at the time for the picture, so they had somebody else put a book in front of their face, and they put me in there. So it's like the shyest. It was never anything to do with being shy. I always thought that was the case, just being shy. I'm just a shy person. I'm really not. You talk to me, I will talk to you. I'm not gonna, like, oh my god, somebody's talking to me. I will talk to you. I'm a fairly communicative individual. And I'm nice when you meet me out in public, if, you know, like I'm somebody. But if I was out and about and people are talking, I would talk to you. I will respond and I would be nice because that's just the way I am. I'm not shy. And I think that's like a revelation for me because I thought for the longest goddamn time, like, I'm just a shy person. You know, don't worry. Like, it's anti-social. I'm really not. I'm a very social being and I'm not shy. However, I've been kind of beaten down for so long about everything about myself, so therefore I contained myself, as in, like, I didn't want to give anybody a reason to have any other type of fodder to throw at me, you know, no ammunition, if you want to put it that way. And so I kept to myself, therefore it translated as shy, but it wasn't about being shy, it was just closed off. I just, stay away from me. You know, they did, a lot of people really did not know a lot about me. Even my closest friends really didn't know a lot about me. They knew, like, certain aspects, things that I liked. I talked to them. Like, I wasn't completely closed off. Really didn't share a whole lot because, again, it's ammunition. People can hurt you with information. So I didn't give it. So I was voted shyest, although I'm not necessarily shy. And I think that's kind of like a new thing that I'm just realizing that I'm not. And cool. Anyhow, so do you have any stories? Did you go through this in the 90s? Are you going through this now? And I'm really, really sorry if you do. Nowadays, with the internet and the social media, you really can't escape it, unfortunately. And cell phones. Like, I didn't have to worry. Like, once I left school, I did have moments of cyberbullying before it was like a thing. I had this one guy who I'm friends with on Facebook, by the way. This one guy who, it said it was his girlfriend who was creating a million different screen names that had my name in it and with crude things. And she's like, and he, she, it, whatever the person was claiming to be was just like, you know, you're, would say some things and I would block them. But that was it, really. I didn't really, once I came home, I was away from it and I didn't have to suffer it anymore. So summertime, weekends, days off, things, days that I didn't come in, I didn't have to deal with it, which was nice. Nowadays it's harder to escape it, and I'm really, really sorry that you would have to deal with that. And but no, it doesn't matter what these people say. You are you, and that's cool. But also, don't preach to people and don't make people do things they don't need to do. We all have our issues and we all have to understand what those issues are. But don't force people to be something they are not, and or making people do things that they don't want to do, if you know what I mean. I don't know if you know what I mean. I'm just trying to put some thoughts together. But anyway, so yeah, if you would like to share any stories, please do. I would love to hear them. And if you have any recommendations for another episode or what you would like me to talk about, sure. I'm all ears. And the next episode, so the previous one was The Lost Time of Malls, which I wrote down. And then this is the Delia's, I'm just too fat for that. And the next I have renting movies. So, like, we're talking more of, like, movie night and the rental and the blockbuster nights that we no longer have, because Blockbuster is now gone. So yeah, so that's the next one, so tune in for that. Please follow my Spotify podcast page, That 80s Child. If you are listening to this from there, please follow if you have not already. If you are listening to on my website, thank you so much. Please check out my blog. I will be, the website currently at this moment in April of 2025, unless you're listening to this in future, I'm trying to update it, and I know there are things in there that are just placeholders, but it's going to get updated. I'm going to be working on that. If you are listening through YouTube, please like and subscribe. I appreciate it. You do not have to ring the bell, because I totally understand not wanting to have a million goddamn notifications for every single thing that might come out. But please like and subscribe. I do appreciate it. It does help. And tell people if you find this interesting. And if you have any ideas, please share. And I very much would love to hear some back and forth about, like, you know, your experiences if this is something that you went through, or if not, or if you knew somebody that went through it, whatever. But yeah, I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you will listen to the other episodes if you have not already, and future episodes that will be coming out as we go along. I'm trying to do one a week. That's why I'm trying to record in advance and then edit it. So yay. All right. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed. That was this 80s child, the Generation Y. And my name is Gabrielle, and I will talk to you in the next one. Bye.